February the 13th, 2020, Brachot 41. Let us start. We're going to start Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, if we may. We didn't do the last couple lines on Noflot, which are we're discussing yesterday, whether they're the dates, unripened dates, or either grapes that they got ruined by the sun, ripened too early, or they fell off, and the whole discussion about what bracha you make on them. But let's start. Hayu lefanav minim harbe. So it's the third line from the top, the fourth line from the top, mem alef amud alef. You have a lot of food, and you don't know what to eat. Apparently, what bracha make first? Apparently, this is what they used to say in Europe on the smicha v'china. They would put a bunch of food before you, and let's see what you eat first. What bracha do you make first? It can get complicated, and here we have a discussion. So in the Mishnah, we learned that according to the Chachamim, you say whatever you like, whatever food you like better, that's what the bracha you should make. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if there's front of the Shivat Minim, wheat or a pomegranate or an olive, you make that bracha takes precedence over other food. So let's see what the Mishnah Gemara has to say. Amarula, machlok get bishab birchotei hem shavot. The argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is if it's the same bracha. But you got oranges, apples, and dates, and figs. So they're all borei priya eitz. And some are shivat minim, and some are not the shivat minim. The Rabbi Yehuda savar, so Rabbi Yehuda holds, mean shiva adif. If the Torah specifies these like seven species are special, so we have to make a bracha on them first. Rabbanan savrei, man min chaviv adif. What do you like better is more important. Apparently they're arguing what counts. Is it, do we look at food, what you want to eat, or look at food, how it's objectively? In other words, what you want is a subjective thing, and the Torah gives an objective reading. So that's the machloket. What do you eat first? Aval, according to this first opinion, according to Ula, b'she'en birchotei yom shavuot, you've got cake and cucumbers and then olives and grapes. So divrei hakol mevarech hazeh v'chozer mevarech hazeh. So everybody agrees you make two brachot and you make one and make the other. Interesting, the Gemara doesn't say which you make first. In other words, it's very unclear. Do you make on the date first? But apparently it doesn't matter. You have to make two brachot. And the way it's understood, it seems to be, it doesn't really matter what you make first, even though we learned yesterday that if you make a borei pri hadam on an orange by mistake, it's okay, because a tree is planted in the ground. However, if you're having a cucumber and an orange, that's what Rashi said, if you're having a cucumber and orange, and you make a borei pri hadam on the cucumber, so then you did not fulfill your obligation on the orange, because there was only entwined for the cucumber, because the orange is special if you made a mistake. Then you can say you were yotze with the borei pri ha-adamah. So if the brachot are different, you do whatever you want. You make two brachot, but apparently in whatever order you want. If the brachot are the same, so it's all a borei pri ha-eitz, or really borei mine mizonot, let's say. If you have wheat would be borei mine mizonot, wheat or barley and some cake, and not from oats or something, which isn't the shivat minim. So that's the machloket. Do shivat minim take precedence, or do what you want to eat take precedence? Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Meitve. So I'm going to ask a question. We're about 10 lines from the top of the page on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Hayu lefanav tznon v'zayit. Tznon is a radish, right, I believe. And a radish is not one of the shivat minim. And zayit, an olive, is one of the shivat minim. So the Gemara says, mevarech al tznon upelter et azayit. So that contradicts everything we said. You make a bracha on the radish, and then the radish exempts the zayit. You make only one bracha. So what are you talking about? Here it's two different brachas. One borei pri eitz, one borei pri hadamah. Presumably you're making the borei pri hadamah, so it implies that the borei, if we have an apple and a cucumber, so you make on the cucumber, because we learned yesterday, the borei pri eitz, so you can make a borei pri hadamah on an orange. It's better borei pri eitz, but if you're eating oranges and cucumbers, make the bracha on the cucumbers, and why make extra brachas? We don't like to make extra brachas. That's what this seems to be saying. You make a bracha on the adama, the tznon, and therefore you don't have to make a bracha on the olive. So the Gemara says, no. That's the reason you do that is hachavimayiskinan. I don't know exactly what food this is. Kehashad atznon ikar. It's when the olives are not really, you want to eat radishes, and the olive just comes along with it.
Even though the olive is one of the
Shiva. Yeah. So Rashi says that The olive is lahafik chorfo shel tznon. It's like in order the radish is sharp, and you put the olive so it won't be so sharp. It's like the halach is, by the way, you go to Kiddush, let's say, and they have, I don't know, herring, a very, very salty herring. And you don't want to just eat the salty herring, so you want to put a piece of bread underneath the herring to absorb some of the salt. So the halach is you make a shahakol, and you don't make a bracha on the bread, because you're not really eating bread. You're eating the bread only to absorb the herring. That's what we call ikar and tafel. When something is the main food, so this is a very, I'm telling Hilcha Bracha today, that's why they used to give it on the smicha test, you know, what to eat. It's very complicated what to do, because foods are made up of so many different components. Like if you eat a pastry, what's it called? You got like a bereka. So what bracha do you make in a bracha? You make one bracha or two brachot? Siri? Make mezonah. So that's the general rule. When the mezonah, that's the ikar. Because we assume the pastry is the ikar, or the whatever that's called. The dough is the ikar, and the potato is just the filling. But again, let's say you're having a box, a bowl of Cheerios and milk. So then what do you do? What about shahakol on the milk?
Yeah, the milk's on the
milk is only... Right, so I don't know. That's I'm not sure. So there was years ago, I used to make two brachot on cereal. I would make, because I don't like plain cereal. I don't want the plain cereal. The milk is important. It's not that I'm not just eating the milk. And then I stopped. Then I started making only one bracha.
The question is, are you going to have like the milk, does the cereal exist to augment the milk?
Right, that's the question. Is one an ikar, one tafel, or they're two ikarim? When you eat pizza, so it's assumed. I don't know, it gets complicated. But anyways, here the Gemara says, the only reason you ate the olive is the olive to absorb some of the sharpness, about 12 lines from the top, a mem aleph amud aleph, to absorb some of the sharpness of the radish. So the radish is the main food, so you only make more pia than much. So we can't prove anything about a normal case, when you want to eat grapes and you want to eat an orange, or you want to eat, we can't prove anything. So ihachi, okay, if you're going to tell me that's the case, that the reason you make the bori pi adama is because the olive is just a secondary food, ema seifa, let's continue what the brayta says. Rav Yehuda omer, mevarach alazayit. Rav Yehuda disagrees. When you have the radish and the olive is the shivat minim. Shivat minim is always more important. So mevarach alazayit, shazayit means shiva. So where it says, lately, so well, hold on, Rav Yehuda doesn't hold? Does Rav Yehuda hold that the brach of Shiva Minim is even if it's a minor part of the food? In other words, I can understand I've got a grape and I have oranges. And I like oranges better than grapes. So the Chachayim say you make a brach on the oranges. And Rav Yehuda says make a brach on the grapes because the grapes are Shiva Minim. Now, the grapes are mixed into the orange, whatever it's got in. The main thing is the orange. Would Rav Yehuda also say, when you have an ikar and a tafel, would he also say the shivat manim trumps the ikar? That's the question, really. So the Gemara wants to lately the Rav Yehuda. Does Rav Yehuda not hold? From that we learned in the Mishnah Tanan, koshi ikar. When you have a primary food, bimotzvila, and you have a secondary food that you're eating with the primary food. Let's take a bereka. So we assume the dough is the primary food and the potato is the secondary food. I'm not 100% that's true, because I think people think want mushroom, but I don't know if that's true. And is it true in pizza? When you eat pizza, are you eating the dough and the cheese is secondary? I don't know. And that's what people assume. Is that really true? Maybe you want cheese, but you don't want plain cheese. You want cheese with dough. I don't know. I don't know what people have. Anyways, it's complicated. Mevarach al ha'ikar porter ha'tfela. So you make the brach on the main food. V'chi tema hachinami delekle. Okay, so let's say Rav Yehuda doesn't hold by that principle. No, he holds you got to make a... He wouldn't hold from that. He would hold, at least by the Shiva Minim, that comes first. But Tanya, that can't be. We learned, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imecha matznon ba hazait. If the only reason you're eating the olive is to take away the sharpness of the radish, mevarcha letznon, you make a bracha on the radish, upoter et hazait. So you see he holds from ikar betafel. Rabbi Yehuda does hold from ikar betafel. So why does he say you make a bracha on the zayit, right? When you have the tznon of the zayit, before he said you make a bracha on the olive. So the Gemara says, lo olam b'tznon ikar skinan. We are dealing with the case where the radish is more important. V'chi plige Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan b'milta achrita. What the argument of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is in a different case. It happens all the time in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes an argument, and they think they're arguing on case A. Gemara says, no, they can't be arguing on case A. Case A, ikar tafel, everybody agrees. The main food is first. Must remember, it's an oral tradition. They're writing this down hundreds of years later. It must mean the argument was really on a different case. So what was the milta achrita? What is the different case? Plige. And there's something missing. In other words, this is how it should read. And this is what we learn. A person has a radish and an olive before him. He makes the bracha on the radish. Okay, and then he doesn't make a bracha for eitz on the olive. Only one bracha. When do you say that? When you're really only eating the olive as a secondary food to the radish. Aval ain't so any car. No, you're eating radishes and you're eating olives. Two different parts of the plate. They're not connected at all. They're both ikar. Aval ain't so any car. Divrei hakol. You make one bracha on the radish, one bracha on the olive. And again, interesting, the Gemara doesn't say which bracha you make first. What do we do, by the way? Whereas the Gemara doesn't care. I'm going to be eating oranges and cucumbers at the same meal. So I have to make borei pri eitz and borei pri damo. Which do you make first? The Gemara doesn't care. Mevarech hazeh, v'chozeh, mevarech hazeh.
Does it matter if one of them
is shuvah meaning? That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, but let's assume they're not. Rabbi Yehuda says, of course, what the shuvah meaning. There's no ikar v'tafel. That's what the Gemara is saying now. In our case, you've got an olive and a radish, so the Chachamim say, they don't hold from the Shiva meaning. That's only Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say, you do this bracha and you do that bracha, but they don't tell you which to do first, which is interesting, because the whole discussion here is what to do first. What do we do first, by the way? What are you supposed to do first, I think, if you have a cucumber and an orange? Or bracha make first. So you make, I'm afraid to say something now. So you make a bracha on the orange first. You always make the bracha from the most specific, it's not 100%. You make a mazona first. No, but that's exactly what the Gemara is saying you shouldn't do. In other words, that was the first thing. In other words, why not say that? So Gemara says, if you're eating it really as one food, so then you look, which is the key food? If you're eating with two separate foods, the Gemara says, no, you make two separate bracha. Even though in theory, the borei pri adama would work on the eighth, but that's what we're saying, no, that's only if you made a mistake. But if you have a fruit and a vegetable, you can't say, well, I can make borei pri adama on both. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. That's only if you make a mistake. And you make borei pri adama on an orange. Okay, so an orange grows from the ground. You don't have to make a bracha over again. So that's what the Gemara is saying.
It says, when the radish is primary.
Right, then you make a bracha only on the radish. But if it's not primary,
who decides when it's primary or not primary?
What you're thinking. Yeah, presumably. In other words, are you eating it as one dish? Are you eating, you're eating rice and chicken? Not chicken, you're not having a piece of chicken. You mix in pieces of chicken and the rice. I mean, then you make a bracha, really on only the rice. You want to make a bracha on the chicken.
Same for the orange or whatever you think.
Right, if you have a fruit salad. So if you have a fruit, maybe it's slightly different because fruit salad, I could say most of the fruits are adama. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know. Halacha lemaisa. According to this, you have a fruit salad with a little bit of oranges, a little bit of grapes, but it's mainly grapes and oranges and stuff. And I don't know. Maybe it's strawberries. So would you make only one bracha or two brachot? Is it separate or is it one food? If it's one food, then you do what's the main ingredient. If it's two separate foods, I'm not sure in a fruit salad if it's one or two foods. Yeah, but I generally make both, but I don't know. Like if I have anyway. So, but let's continue on in the Gemara. What do we say? That's only if it's noni kar. Ain't it noni kar? One bracha you make the borei pri adama and the borei pri eitz. Ushnei minim ba'alma bracha zev. Ushnei minim ba'alma shebrachotayim shavot. Two fruits, apple and orange, or a cucumber and a tomato, where the bracha is the same. If you're eating an apple and orange, you eat whatever you want first. It's one bracha. You're not going to make borei pri eitz twice. You do whatever you want first. Rav Yehuda mer mevarchal azayit. So Rav Yehuda says no. If you've got apples and olives, even if you like apples better than olives, you make the bracha on the olives, because olives is one of the are shivat minim. Shazayit mimin shiva. Plige ba ravami rav yitzchak nafka. Okay, now we're going to have an argument on this argument. In other words, what are they arguing about? Chadamar machloket shebirchoteim shavot. One says the argument in Rav Yehuda and Chachamim is when the brachas are the same. When it's all a bunch of fruit. The Rav Yehuda savar min shiva adif. This is what we saw before. The thing from shivat minim is better. Rabbanan savar min chaviv is adif. What you like better. Your subjective feeling beats the objective fact that it's the shivat minim. Avava she'en birchoteim shavot. When you're talking about an apple and a cucumber, when we're talking about an olive, let's say, and a cucumber, divrei hakol, everybody agrees, mevarachos ha'vechozer mevarachos ha'. You have to do two brachot, this we already saw. V'chadamar apesheim birchoteim shavot. No, even if the two brachot are separate, nami machloket. They're also arguing, Rabbi Yehuda would insist, you always make the shivat meaning first, even though you have to do that first. So bishlam alamanda merkesh birchoteim shavot machloket. So I can understand the debate if we're talking about olives and oranges. Machloket shapir. But if you're going to tell me we're talking about olives and cucumbers, adama and eitz, what are they arguing? What's the argument? Rav Yehuda, what do you mean? Do you make mean shiva first? Or Chavi already gave her the answer. In other words, you have to do both. So what's the argument? Yeah. Everybody agrees you have to make an etz and a dama. Where it says, I'm a Rav Yirmi lahakdim. It's only a bracha. The whole discussion is, what do you do first? Okay? Which is what I would have assumed anyways. In other words, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, if it's one food, right? If it's, if the birchoteim is shavot, one bracha. So let's say you're eating olives and the olives is tafel. But since the olive is the shiva minim, you'd make the bracha, Rav Yehuda would say, on the bor preach. That's one opinion.
You're saying if it's shavet, then you're making bor preach for any.
Right. So then you have a machloket. What do you like better, or shiva?
What's the difference? You're only making one bracha because they're both eats.
Right. But what do you eat first? Yeah, yeah. Do you make the bracha on the olive, or do you make the bracha on the orange? You like oranges better. But Rav Yehuda says, since olives are part of shiva minim, you make the bracha on the olive first.
What is it? I know what shiva minim means, but...
We're going to talk about the shiva minim. But yeah, what's your question?
I was going to get to, what makes them such a special status, other than the fact that they're called the shiva minim?
The Torah specifies them. That's all. They're the indigenous fruit of the land of Israel.
That's what they say it is.
Is that today still true? I mean, is Israeli olives? I happen to not like olives at all. I can't stand olives. But olives are, Israeli olives are really good. Jaffa oranges don't make the shivat minim. Jaffa was in the Arab City. I don't know, but...
I bought pomelos at Costco yesterday from Israel.
Right. So...
Jaffa oranges, you know the story of Jaffa. Jaffa oranges, all those Christians that came to Jerusalem, made the German colony, they were the ones that started the orange groves, and they shipped them to Jaffa.
That's how Jaffa oranges started, yeah. So, it's because it's a pasuk in Chumash. The Shiva meaning because it's pasuk in Chumash. And apparently these were the things that were indigenous to the land of Israel. Okay. Plegi, Amar Rav Yirmi Lahakim, Damar Rav Yosef Itim Rav Yitzchak, Kol HaMukdam BePasuk, Zeh, whatever comes first in the Pasuk Mukdam Bracha, not only Shivat Minim, now you've got to eat, you're eating grapes and pomegranates. So grapes comes first, because Eretz Chitav Sarah, Gefen, Te'in Avrimon. So the grape becomes first, then the fig, then the pomegranate, Eretz Zeit, Shem, and Vash, then the olive, and the date. Vash, in Biblical Hebrew, doesn't mean honey, it means date honey, dates. Dates are date honey. Bee honey is not part of the Shivat Minim at all. Okay. Shenemar, Eretz Chitav Sarah, Gefen Tein Avrimon, Eretz Zeit Shemen Udvash. Okay. So whatever comes first in the Pasuk, the Torah lists them in order. Now, it probably in the Chitav, because wheat is the basic food, and then we discussed yesterday, wheat, and we don't consider wheat like a tree or shiva minim, but it's included, right? It's as one of, even though it's sort of, you can't eat wheat naturally, but still it's the first one. Upligi the Rav Chanan. So this opinion that the pasuk is telling us what order to make a bracha is only one opinion. Rav Nata disagrees. The pasuk is not telling us what the order of the bracha is. He's saying like this. Namar Rav Chanan. Kol ha-pasuk kulo l'shirim nemar. This entire verse is telling us how much matzah you have to eat on Pesach. Each one of the Shivat Minim has a specific measurement in halakha, as we're going to see. Chita, what is, in other words, what is the importance of chita? It's the, chita's representative. It's a measurement. It's not a food. I mean, it's a food. It's a measurement. Ditnan, hanichlas l'bayit ha-menuga. Okay, the Torah has this concept. I think the Gemara says it's one of the three mitzvot, that three things that never ever happened. Irni dachat, ben sor morer, and bayit menuga. We'll read about it in Tezri Metzor. I'm sorry? This one, bayit menuga, a house of leprosy. You know, whatever leprosy. And so the Torah describes the house got all kinds of mold in the house. The Kohen looks at it, and if it's whatever, it does all these rules, you destroy the house. It's like a... And so the Gemara, I think, says that's never ever happened. But okay, we're talking here in theory. So a guy walks into a house, and when you walk into a Beit HaMenuga, then it's like an ohel. You know, that's why a Kohen can't go to a funeral, because you're in the same room as a dead body. Everything under the same roof is tameh. So if there's tuma in a place, everybody's in that room is metameh. So a Beit HaMenuga would make a house of leprosy, would make you tameh if you went to the house. That's what the Gemara says. So niklas beit hamenuga bekelav aktafav, and you got your carrying stuff on your shoulders. V'sandalo v'tavato biyado, huvehem tamei miyad. So you are tamei immediately. As soon as you walk into the house, you're tamei. You're in the same room as tuma. Hayal lavush kelav, you're wearing your clothes. Kelev often means clothes, doesn't just mean a vessel. Like v'sandalo b'raglo v'stavato b'etzvato. Okay, but now you're not wearing your clothes in a normal way. You're wearing it. You're carrying it in a place that you don't normally wear it. Shaloka derech mabusho. Rashi says, "Hu tamei miyat." So the person is tamei immediately. What about the clothes? The clothes are not the extension. He's like he's carrying his clothes in a suitcase. He's not wearing his clothes, let's say. So the Mishnah says, "Heim torim achi yishia kedei achilat pras." He has to be in the room the amount of time it takes to eat a pras. What's a pras? Achilat pras. That's always talking. You have to eat kedei achilat pras. A pras is a half a loaf of bread. And that's, the Gemara says, that's what you would use, the assumption of the rabbis. It's in that bread that you would eat for two meals. How much it is in normal English, I don't know. But let's say a half a loaf of bread. Let's put it in that way. To eat a quarter of a loaf of bread at a meal, that sort of makes sense. You eat a half a loaf of bread at two meals. How long does that take to eat a half a loaf of bread? Kedechi lepras. So this is a question. Have you ever been to a Pesach Seder with the yeshiva guy? See how fast he eats the matzah. Because you have to eat the matzah, kedei achilat pras. So what's kedei achilat pras? So it's normal people. So I remember Rav Shechter told us, whatever normal people do, you have to realize, shiurim is a fascinating like concept. We live in a scientific age where we measure things to the millimeter. You know, they bring out in football, you know, third an inch. Like, everything is to the precise everything. The Gemara... obviously in that measure, they didn't know how to tell time, the sundials, you know, everything was approximated. How much do you have to eat? A kizayit, like a zayit. So the Gemara never gave precise definitions because nobody knew how to measure precise definitions. A loaf of bread, how much? A loaf of bread is a loaf of bread. I don't know, we would never, what do you mean? Is it a big loaf, a small loaf, or what is having it? But the Gemara never talks like that because they just lived in a different type of a society. So kedei achilat pras, they're saying, however long it takes to eat a normal piece, how long it takes to take normal, eat normal. That's what it means. Kedei, in other words, that's the share. What does a normal person eat? But today we have to have measurements. So some people, so they assume it's 9 minutes. Okay. And some of you say it's 2 minutes. So, or 4 minutes. So what happens? Read, you know, Chaim Soloveitchik's article on rupture and reconstruction that they just reviewed now in tradition. So, you know, when we were kids, especially the older people in the room, like me included, an olive, yeah, how much matzah did you eat? You ate an olive size of matzah. Today, they give the kids home like this, two pieces of paper. The matzah's got to be like this, and olive is like this. So what happened? The olives are six times as big, and the kedei achila press is one-fifth of the time. So you have to stuff two pieces of matzah in your mouth. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I've been to seders. That's what people do. They take two pieces of matzah. It's not, you can get sick from it. I mean, it's, we laugh because we think it's ridiculous. But kedei achila press meant what a normal person eats. So that's the Gemara says. So when does it become tameh? If you're there, the Gemara says patchitin. It's got to be wheat, the lo patsorim. Why? Because patchitin, you eat it more quickly because it's human food. So whatever it is, it's a few minutes. So that's what the word chita teaches us. The word chita is referring to this strange case of a guy walking into a house that is tameh, and he's got his clothes in his knapsack. How long does it take for them to become tameh? Okay. Mesa leaning. In other words, you can already see he's not eating in a hurry. He's macy. He's relaxing. Macy. How long it takes? Ochlem beliftan. Beliftan means he puts butter and cream cheese on it. He's not like, he doesn't stuff it in his throat. However long it takes. Okay. That's chitim. Sora. What does sora teach us? The word so, the tanan etzem kisora. A bone the size of a barley, pretty small. Mitame b'maka ubamasa, right? Tuma, like everything, has to have a mat. If you have a very small part of a dead body, you know, half a millimeter, it's not tame if you touch it. So it's got to have this, how big is a barley? I don't know how big it is. It's not very big. But it's got to be at least that size in order for something to transfer tuma. Tuma ve'no metame po'owel. Etzem kisora is not metame. There are three ways to become tame. Maga, masa, and ohel. Maga means I touch it. Masa means I carry it, so a knapsack, and ohel means I'm in the same room. So tumat ohel is the least, like strict. Obviously, if you touch something, it's worse. Let's say, without getting into all the whole debate, but we have a discussion about kohanim in medical school. Let's say, you know, all that issue with kohanim. So some say that non-Jew is not metameh but ohel. If you touch a dead, tumah v'tahara is a Jewish concept, but nonetheless, we do assume that a non-Jew gives tumah too, but maybe only b'maga v'masa, mainly only if you touch the body. If you're in the same room, maybe not, maybe yes. So tumah ol is the least form, which makes sense. So the Gemara says, etzem kesora, you have a small bone, so that makes you tummy if you touch it. If you're in the same room, it's got to be an entire bone. You're going to be tummy or an entire limb. You're not going to be tummy like that. Okay, so that's what Sora teaches. Gefen, what is Gefen for? Kedei revi'it yayin lenazir. That how much a nazir can drink wine. How much wine can't he drink? The size of a grape. If he has a taste of wine, that's okay. Like at a bris, you know, they give the, that's okay. But he can't have a size of a grape of wine. Teina. You know what a teina for? And now we're getting into more practical stuff. Kirgrogeret lot sat Shabbat, maybe. A teina is a fig. If you carry on Shabbat, you're allowed to carry things that are smaller than the size of a fig. You only violate Shabbat if what you're carrying is bigger than a fig. Rimon, I like, this is my favorite. Ditnan kol klei balibatim shiorim kirimonim. Means like this. A kli, four things are makabel tuma. I say there are three ways to transfer tuma. Maga, masa, v'ol, touching, carrying, and being in the same room. Four things become tame. Adam, kelim, ochlim, umashkim. People, food, drink, and vessels. Right? The longest masechet in Shas is kelim. It's 30 boring chapters that we don't understand with most of it because it talks like it's describing vessels, what they looked like 2,000 years ago. We don't know what they're talking about. Boring like anything, right? This is, and they have to give it up at a yortzeit. They always have to buy kelim into different chapters because no one will ever agree to learn all 30 prakim of kelim for shloshim. So it's very important. Now, in the time of the temple, this was extremely important. Tumah v'tahara was so, das, who cares? But Tumah v'tahara in the time of the temple was super important. Could you eat the Korban Pesach? You tell me. So you had to know what the kelim are. You had to know olot. There's almost like an olot. What if the window's open? Are you tell me? How big is the window open? Is this the same as the chadar ochel? Are you on the same roof? Is the so all these complicated laws that you had to know. So a kli is mekabel tuma. If you break the kli, it loses its status of tuma. The most famous argument in rabbinic literature, Ravi Eliezer and Ravi Yoshua, and Tanur Shelechnai, you know that famous Torah Lo Shemaimi, the water goes backward. That was an argument over a ridiculous, I mean, Tassus ridiculous, over an oven that they took apart the oven. So the question is, and they put it back together. And they it was taken apart, the blocks were this big and not that big. How much do you have to break it so it's considered broken? That was the whole fight. And that was the fight that destroyed the whole world, went crazy. That's caused the death of Rabban Gamliel and the excommunicated Rabbi Elazar Gadol. That famous argument of Torah Lomar Shemayim was all about the walls, that one, yeah. In Bava Metzia. So that all had to do with Tumah V'Tahara. So the question is, when it's then to do with an oven, how small do you have to break the pieces in when you put it back together? So it says, so now, a shear is like a rimon. So the Gemara, the Rashi explained this, a guy's got a cup, a glass he drinks from. No, it has a little bit of a hole. Can't drink water from it anymore, because even a small hole, you know, you put it on the table, it's all going to ruin. That doesn't matter, because he'll use it for something else. He'll start using cups. They didn't throw things the way we throw things. So, and if the hole got a little bigger, got the size of an olive, he'll use it to put in, Rashi says, an echo as an almond. And if it got bigger than an almond, he'll put in a pomegranate. So, but if the hole is in the cup is bigger than a pomegranate, you can't use it anymore. So that's what Rimon. If a vessel has a cup, has a hole in it, it doesn't lose its status as its vessel is still mekabel tuma. Because even though I can't drink water from it, I can put olives in it or dates in it. But once it gets a hole big enough as a pomegranate, that's pretty big, you're not going to use it for anything, and it's not mekabel tuma. I mean, to us, it's a very, like, you know, it's totally inapplicable, but this is very applicable in the time. So that's what the word rimon. In other words, each one of these words has a halakhic application. Okay. Eretz Eit Shemen, olives, Amar Avasi. Now that's the most famous one, because everybody knows how much you have to eat of matzah and sukkahs and everything is an olive. Amar Yosef Rabbi Chanin, Eretz Shekol Shirim Kezeitim, a land where everything is measured by olives. That's the key one. Gemara says, Kol Shira, what do you mean everything? Sakatata. This Baha'i Kahanach, we just mentioned. Chita, Sarah, Gepen, Teina, Rimon, what are you talking about? Tamarela Sharov, Shirim Kizaitim. That's also right. You don't have to eat an olive. You have to eat a kizait, like an olive. Dvash. What's the halacha of dvash? So kikotevet hagasa biyom hakipurim. On Yom Kippur, you're allowed to eat, obviously rabbinically you can't do that, but on a biblical level, you're allowed to eat even an olive. You don't violate Yom Kippur, can't eat a date. A date is bigger than an olive, right? Why? Because Yom Kippur, the prohibition is not to eat, the prohibition is to afflict ourselves. So you're still really hungry. In other words, I have to eat matzah. If I eat something the size of an olive, I've eaten. But I'm not at all satiated when I eat all of an olive. Yom Kippur, it's tanuat nafshotechem. So if I eat an olive, I'm still considered inui. I've got to eat more food. So I only violate Yom Kippur if I eat something the size of a date. This may be important. The standard halachic psak is someone, let's say, he's not dying, but he can't fast on Yom Kippur. So, you know, the chumra is a person should drink less than a revit of wine, right? And
Or
right, but less than what a ravid of wine, right, in a ravid of whatever the thing would be, and he should eat less than a shear. So less than a shear, eat, and then eat it every 9 minutes, whatever. Could they achila pras these things to wait? So you're not really eating. You don't feel like Yom Kippur. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik didn't like that whole thing. He said just eat. You know, Rav Chaim was very famous. You know the famous story of Rav Chaim. He wanted to do away with all the fast days except for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Well, today we don't fast. This is not, we shouldn't fast. We're weak. He didn't like fast days. So they knew it. That's like, sounds like a reform rabbi. So they said to him, why are you so lenient? He says, I'm not lenient on fast days. I'm machmir on pikuach nefesh. So he's very machmir on pikuach nefesh. And that's the famous story when his son got married, when Rav Moshe Soloveitchik got married to Rav's father. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik sent a letter to his daughter-in-law, said, you're not allowed to fast on Day Gemara. This minhag to fast on Day Gemara is shtuyot, is ridiculous. Mainly you want to fast Shivasa every time, it's okay, that's in the Gemara. But the Narishkeit, to fast on the day of the wedding, so he wrote a letter, you're not to fast. And the daughter-in-law, this is not like today. Tell her, Rebecca Rav Chaim, thank you very much. But I come from the Feinstein family. She was, we have our traditions, and in our family, we do fast when you get married. So that's very nice. And she fasted. That's. But anyways, that's okay. Let's get back here. Dvash ketuv yomikirim veidach hani shirim behedjimikti. So the other opinion that says no, the pasuk gets it. Now, so we have a machloka. What does this pasuk mean? Does the pasuk tell you how to make the order in brachot? Or is the pasuk teaching us about different measurements? That these are the seven, you know, we have ounces, pounds, liters, whatever. So we've got chita, sarah, kef, and tein every month. That's how we measured items in halacha. So where does the other opinion know shiurim? I says, hey, what are you talking about? That doesn't tell us shiurim. You're making this up. Rimon, the Torah doesn't say that. You're just using it. So ela midirabanan. The shirim are all made up. The rabbis made it up. That was the rabbis felt that to eat is a kazayi, a vessel, a rimon, whatever. Ukras machtavam, and they hung it on a pasuk. It's not really what the pasuk means. Okay. Rav Chista v'Rav HaMenuna. Havayati b'suda. So Rav Chista v'Rav Nuna were having a meal. Aitu lekame tamrei v'rimone. So they brought dates and pomegranates. No, what bracha did they make first? Dates or pomegranates? Why dates? We, according to the first opinion, that the pasuk is said to test the order. Rimon eretz kitasara dem gefen teina rimon eretz eitz shemur dvash. Dvash is tamar. That's right at the end. So make rimon. So ak tamei rino shakil rav menuna. So rav menuna says baruch atamrei pereisha. So rav menuna makes a bracha on the date first. Amar le Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, well, what's wrong with you? Lo sfira le mar le had amar. Didn't you learn what Rav Yosef said? Some say Rav Yitzchak said. Kol amukta, it's like, Mar is so concerned, you know, who said it? Like, didn't you learn what this was? Or maybe it was, who cares? But didn't you learn what they said? Kol amukta mepasuk zeh kodon bracha says, Amar le, of course I know that. But you didn't know the rest of the learning. Amar le zeh sheni la'aretz v'zeh hamishi la'aretz. Hold on. The pasuk says Eretz twice. Eretz kitav asarah, gefentein everyone. Eretz seit shemun advash. So the tamar is closer to the second Eretz. Now you got a whole complicated thing. You can't just go in order. You got to go what's close to Eretz. So you got one, two, three, and then you got to go back to tamar because that's closer because that's second. Amarle zeh sheni laretz v'zeh chamishi laretz. Then tamar rimon's only 15. So he was impressed. That's cool. I didn't read the word Eretz. In other words, what the Gemara is saying, the word Eretz, it's about Eretz Yisrael. So if the word Eretz appears twice, to tell us. Tosva points out, let's say they're equidistant, right? So Tosva says, then you do the first one. In other words, the first Eretz trumps the second Eretz.
Why is Eretz there twice?
I don't know why Eretz, it's interesting because apparently, that's a good question. Zayt Shemun Advash must be somehow different than Chita Seira Kevatein Arimon. Zayt Shemun Advash. I don't know. So good. So Amar Le, Man Yahiv Le Nagra De Parzel of Anashmiach. Who could give you, Rashi says, iron legs? Now, you're so powerful, you're so strong, and we'll listen to everything. What a brilliant argument, why to make the bracha on dates first. I love you, and whatever you say, I'm going to follow. I'm going to give you iron legs, like powerful. The Nashmiacha will listen to whatever you say. Okay, good. Itmar. So now we have a second, another issue. Teinim, it's not a question what bracha to make first. What would you make first? Teina, anavim, you'd make on grapes, right? Geffen comes before teina. That's for sure, right? Betochasuda, you're in the middle of eating. So that's an eating main bread. You have to make a brach on food in the middle of eating. So Amarav Huna, tunim bracha lifneim. You have to make a brach. When they bring you fruit in the middle of a meal, you have to make a brach, which is, I think, how most people do in practice. Vein tunim bracha lachron. But you don't have to make a separate bracha achrona. You include them in brachan hamazon. You make a bracha at the beginning, and there everything's included in Birkat HaMazon. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, tunim bracha lifneihem. Rav Nachman said the same thing. You have to make a pori pre-eitz, vein tunim bracha lechareim. Rav Sheshen amar, tunim bracha bein lifneihem lechareim. This is very interesting. You have to make, according to Rav Sheshet, if you eat an orange in the middle of the meal, you have to make an orange. You have to make a bori pre-eitz, and take borei nefashot, rabot, and then you also have to bench. We don't follow that, but that's an interesting opinion. Why? We can't have a concept. If you have to make a bracha before you eat, you for sure have to make a bracha after you eat. Why? Presumably because the Torah itself, we learned this in the first parak, or first or second parak. The Gemara says, the only bracha mentioned in the Torah is Birkat HaMazon. There is an opinion that Birkat HaTorah is biblical, but it's not directly in the Torah. It's derived from a pasuk. The only bracha mentioned in the Chumash is v'achalta v'savata u'beirachta. So the Gemara, so obviously making a bracha after you eat is more important than making a bracha before you eat. So that's apparently what Rav Sheshet is saying. If I have to make a bracha for eitz on food and meal, if I have to make a bracha at the beginning, I for sure have to make a bracha at the end, because the Torah tells us making a bracha at the end is more important than a bracha at the beginning. So it says, she'en lecha devar shetum bracha levana ve'en tum bruch levacha elapat haba b'kislin. What's pat haba b'kislin? That's a good question today, is it? I flew home from Israel 2 days ago, El Al, right? So they always write on the thing that the rolls are mizonot. Why do they do that? Because it's good for the catering business, because no one want to eat the bread if the rolls are mozi. You're on a plane, it's a big pain to wash. That's a very questionable assumption, whether the rolls are mizonot. They look like bread, they taste like bread, it's part of a suda, but they'll argue it's pat habat b'kishtin and doesn't need its own bracha. In other words, it's not real bread. I'll tell you, me personally, when Rav Shach said, I don't hold from mizonot. You do whatever you want, but I'll never eat bread on a mizonot. I'll always wash. I'll wash for a mizonot roll on the plane, or you just don't eat it. Now, what's pat habat b'kishtin? So Rashi explains that after you eat, they would bring all kinds of sweet goods. And they would take pat, they would take bread, and they would dip it in. It's like sweet, it's like dough, it's like bread, but it's all sweet, and so it's not pure bread. It's like, that's what they do, on the airplane. These the mizonot rolls, they put in a little bit of fruit juice. So you're not really eating bread, but in the time of the Gemara, you really weren't eating the bread. You were eating all the, like, think of it like pita and hummus and baba ganoush, that... That's what they do in practice. Whether it's there, in the Gemara, what it meant is that the bread was really just a minor part to eat the sweets. You're really eating sweets. And the bread was just, you have to eat the sweets with something. You have to dip it with something. So today they say, okay, we'll pour in some orange juice. That's the same thing. That's very questionable whether it's the same thing. That's why most Rabbani, most Talmidei Chachamim assume it's all a little bit of a joke, but whatever. They have amar lismach, and it's don't tell people on the airplane to go wash. You'll drive the airplane crazy. 200 people are going to get up to wash at the same time when they serve the meal. There's no room, so that's why. But anyway, but that's what pat habat b'kishtin is. That's the pat habat b'kishtin. You don't have to make hamotzi for it. So that's what the word says. Ain't to him ela pat habat b'kishtin b'ad upliga the Rav Chiya. And this argues on what Rav Chiya says. Then Rav Chiya, papoter komine machal. Rav Chiya was of the opinion that when you make bread, you don't have to make any other bracha. Gemara says when you bring the fruit in the middle of the meal, you have to make a bracha. Rav Chiya says not. Again, we'll have to discuss. We don't have time now. But how do they eat bread? I've said this before. I'm convinced if Chazal were alive today, Hilchot Bracha would be totally different. The idea that you eat bread and therefore you don't make any other bracha is because what we learned before, bread is ikar, and the whole rest of the meal is tafel. But that's not true. We don't eat that way anymore. Even if you have 6 pieces of challah on Friday night, the bread is still not the main part of the meal. You don't eat the chicken with the bread. They used to eat the meat. They used to dip the bread in the meat, and that's how they ate bread. We don't do that. It's very questionable that you can, we all do it, that you can eat bread, make wash and bread. I don't have to make any other bracha because I made the main thing. But that's what Rav Chiya said. See, right? But you have learned, papoter komine mechal yayin, poter komine mashkin. You make a pori prea hagafen. You don't have to make a bracha on orange juice or apple juice. The wine covers everything. I'm a Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, Hilchata, what's the bottom line? Dvarim abai mechem adasuda betocha suda. Things that are connected to the meal that come during the meal. Whatever, kugel, all the side dishes, they're part of the meal. Ain tunim bracha lo lifneim velo lachrim. They don't need a bracha before or after. That's what we do. The shalom echmat hasuda, they're not related to the meal. So we assume fruit or let's say a dessert, right? They're not really part of the meal. They're just like a fringe extra food. Mechem v'doch hasuda, then you have to make a bracha before him. Bein tunim bracha lachrim. But you don't have to make a bracha at the end. They'll be covered in bracha namazon. Lachar suda. If you bring in food after you finish the meal, like you're finished and then they bring out, you know, you're sitting on the Shabbos table and they're schmoozing for half an hour and then they bring out more cake and more things. It's not part of the meal at all. It's nothing. So then you have to make a bracha before him. Bracha lifneim. Bein lacharim. Both of them. So that's this is the important stuff. What do you have to, you know, how you make the brachas? That's how we're supposed to follow today. Shaluah ben Zoma. So they asked Ben Zoma. This is the important part. Why do we say that when you bring food in the middle of the meal, right? They're eating bread and meat together. So therefore, I don't have to make a brach on the meat because the bread covers the meat. But now they bring extra food. I didn't have that in mind when I brought the bread. I didn't know that I was going to eat that food. So maybe I have to make another bracha. So why don't we? Amar lehem ho'il v'pat potortam. Says you don't have to because the bread is the main part. And the bread will even include the things they bring during the meal. That's what he said.